good morning. Good morning and happy Easter. I want to welcome all of you to our worship service this morning. We are so glad you're here. I want to welcome those of you who are watching online this morning. And everyone who's making your way in, just know there's lots of seats over here on this side of the worship center. And for those of you who are leaving space for comfort, maybe you might consider moving towards the center so that as people come in, they can sit on the aisle chairs. But there's plenty of seats over here as you come in. Before we get started, I'd like just to make a couple of announcements. First, next Saturday at Santa Fe's track, there's going to be the Family Promise second annual bed race. And Family Promise is a network of churches who come together and a week at a time provide shelter for homeless families. This is a big fundraiser, and there's a lot of family-friendly, fun activities planned that day, the bed race being one of them. Trinity's entry is a Star Wars-themed bed, and my wife, Lenora, is going to be the rider, dressed as Princess Leia, and we have the four fastest people to push that bed around the track. We had a goal of $2,000 to raise towards Family Promise, and as of the beginning of the last service, we were still $200 short of that, so I wanted to let you know if there's somebody out there who believes in this ministry and wants to help us finish out our goal. I'd love to talk to you after the service. But please come to this event next Saturday. Bounce houses, face paint, lots of fun for the family. It'll be a great time. Inside your bulletin, there is a lot of information. First and foremost, take a minute to glance over the Easter lily dedication, all the dedications that were made for these beautiful lilies that are on the stage behind me. And there's also just above the connect card on the inside, some discipleship opportunities. If you're looking for a Bible study or a small group, way to grow in your faith, I encourage you to look those over as well. And of course, there's a lot of information on our website, so just look these things over. The connect card is there. We encourage you to tear that out during the service. If you're a member here at Trinity, we'd still love to know that you were here with us today. And if you're a first-time guest, please know how welcome you are to be here. We'd like to know that you were here as well, and that way we can reach out to you and answer any questions that you might have about our church or just see how we might be able to serve you. So please take a moment to fill that out. It's very helpful to us in our ministries here if everyone would do that. So that's our announcements for this morning. Time now for our mission box. Each Sunday, we do a mission box collection, a mission box offering for a local, sometimes a local charity, sometimes national, sometimes international, and today is an international offering for Living Water International. It's one of the mission trip opportunities that we have here at Trinity, and we have a video to tell you more about this morning's mission box. Well, while we're waiting, if the video doesn't come up, I'll just tell you, Living Water International, we go around the world and we drill wells where there are places that need clean water. El Salvador is the particular location. We were there in January with the team and drilled a well. And while we were there,
Hi, my name is Anna Hill Ferry. I was privileged to go to El Salvador last January. It changed my life. It changed my life completely. Living Waters in El Salvador is it's called Agua Viva, which is the translation for Living Waters. They do mission trips all over, including El Salvador, Nicaragua, and I'm sure Guatemala and other countries, and they bring clean water to this community. We go to the community, there's a drill team and there's a hygiene team. I was very privileged to do both, and I was able to drill, and I was able to be part of the hygiene. And because I do speak Spanish, I was able to pretty much be in everybody's business, and it was amazing. I was very impressed with Agua Viva and El Salvador Living Waters, because these girls and guys, they work away two or three hours away from their home, and they do that one week in, one week out. And you ask them, why are you doing that? And they're like, because we want to serve the Lord. There's one lady named Marcela that she is an attorney in her country, but she has chosen to work for Living Waters just so she can serve the Lord and provide clean water and serve the people of their country. I was privileged to work at a school, which it was very close to my heart. In my heart, as I work at Stepping Stone, and I can imagine my little ones being so happy about having clean water. Getting to El Salvador and meeting the people of Salvador, my question was the whole entire time, what I'm bringing to them, but truly, why they brought to me. They were so happy. I will never be able to explain it. What I felt is just amazing. They were so grateful, so much happiness. I learned that we don't need to know Spanish to go to El Salvador or any Spanish country. I learned that you need to speak the language of love. And if you do speak the language of love and you open your heart, you definitely can go to any of these mission trips and be part of an amazing experience.
All right. Thanks, Zach, for getting that video up. So that is our mission box this morning, and you can give to Living Water International and the specific the well that we're going to drill in El Salvador in April by giving to any of the 5 wooden boxes that you'll see as you leave this morning. Those are our mission boxes, the wooden boxes. So we appreciate your help with that. So that's our announcements. That's our mission box. Steve and Sunlight, would you lead us in your prelude? Get us. Thank you, sunlight. Now, it's Easter morning. You're all in your Sunday best, and you look marvelous. I'm going to do something very impromptu here and ask that you stand, and I'm going to take your picture for a social media moment. Would that be all right? And then after you're standing, we're going to do a call to worship together. So stand, and then say cheese. I don't think you were smiling, but that's all right. So, if you're still filing in, there are still seats over here, and there's some seats right here in the front and center. There's plenty of room for everyone. But while we are standing now, let us prepare to worship God, and can we have that call to worship? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord has risen.
He has risen.
The Lord has risen. The Lord has risen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Christ has risen.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord has risen.
Yes.
Alleluia.
Thank you.
us join together and declare our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we have the privilege of going to God together in prayer. I'd like to bring up this first slide. These are names of the people who our care team are visiting in the hospital and in rehab, as well as those who may have had outpatient surgeries this past week. If you or a loved one would like to be added to this list and visited by our care team, you can use the Connect card that is in your bulletin, or you can contact my wife, Lenora Russo, who is the Director of Congregational Care, anytime, and she'll make sure that they get added to the list. We also want to keep Edith and the Blaylock family in our prayers. Harold Blaylock passed into eternity on Tuesday, and his memorial will be held on April 2nd at 2 p.m. in our Trinity Chapel. We also, of course, want to remember all those who are grieving, all those who are undergoing cancer treatment, those who are homebound, or those around the world who might be serving in harm's way. A list of these names is updated weekly and is available in the Narthex and in our education building. Again, if you want to have somebody a prayer request to, that list, you can use the Connect card that is in the bulletin. This week, we want to acknowledge and celebrate all of the amazing work that happens behind the scenes. This is a big campus that requires a lot of care, and our facility staff poured themselves into preparing this space so beautifully, and there were many that worked behind the scenes to make such a meaningful Holy Week. So we want to celebrate them and acknowledge them. Who you see here on the screen, this is our Spring Break Youth Medical Mission Team. They're in Nicaragua this week, and they're arriving home tonight around 7 p.m., so we want to celebrate the work that they've been doing this week. They took a lot of the supplies that you had donated. They've been doing the work of Christ there in Nicaragua. Pray for them and safe travels as they come home tonight. Now, I know that many of you came through the doors this morning with your own joys and concerns, and so I invite you now to join your heart with mine as we go to God in prayer. Resurrected Lord, we rejoice with all of creation and stand in awe at the mystery of an empty tomb. You alone have conquered death and risen victoriously, ushering in your kingdom and breaking the bonds of sin that has held humanity hostage. We are now free to live as you intended, reconciled to you and to each other, forgiven and redeemed and made new through the power and the hope of your resurrection. Praise be to your holy, holy name. We offer thanks for all those who have devoted their time and talent to serving your kingdom this past week. For the Spring Break Youth Medical Mission Team, for our facility staff, for all of our amazing volunteers, and many others who go unnamed. Pour out your blessings upon all who selflessly seek to serve others and shine your light into the darkest of places. We lift up all who are in need of healing, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. May your peace comfort them as your grace sustains them, guiding them day by day towards wholeness in you. We lift up the people of Brussels and all who have been impacted by this terrible act of terrorism, all who are suffering devastating loss. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to be Easter people, to bring the hope of the resurrection to all who are hungry, homeless, abandoned, or lost. No one is beyond your love, and you are able to redeem all things. Help us embrace this truth with every fiber of our being and to share it generously with all those we encounter. And let us pray together the word Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We now have the opportunity to worship God with our offering. When we give back to God from what He first gave to us, I'd like to invite the ushers to please come. Members of Trinity Covenant together in our membership vows to give in proportion to what God has given us. And many of you who might be here for the first time today, while your gift would certainly help the ministries of this church be Christ to the world, we don't want you to feel obligated to give, although we would appreciate it. That being said, let us pray over this time of offering together. Gracious God, we acknowledge you this morning as the giver of every good thing in our lives, and as we give back to you from what you first gave to us, we pray, God, that you multiply these gifts, multiply these tithes and offerings, use them for the glory of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.
Good morning. I'm Dylan McDaniel, and this morning, Sunlight will be singing The Best Day of My Life by American Authors. Everyone aspires to have every day be the best day of their life, where everything goes according to the perfect image in their head. But often these days can be difficult to find. James Adam Shelby, the lead guitarist of the American Authors, said in an interview that no matter what's going on, whether you're stuck at your job or having a bad day, there's always an escape from that, and there's always a way to make every day the best day of your life. We can do this through our relationship with Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are not promised that every day will be great or that all our prayers will be answered the way that we want them to. What we are promised is that God and Jesus will be with us at all times and give us all that we need. Through Jesus, through Christ, we are promised eternal life, and that life begins now. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, our view each day is shifted to an eternal view. We are able to see the gifts God gives us daily. The knowledge of his gifts allows us to live each day and give every day the best day of our life. And for Christians, every day is Easter. Now singing is the amazing and talented Anu Srivastava.
And then the sun came crashing. Awesome, awesome. Anu? Anu. Anu. Wants to be great, yeah. Thank you, Anu. And a little banjo. Banjo, yeah. Josh? John. Josh. And I caught the last name, McLean. Is it Judy? Who? Delaney McLean? Okay. McDaniel. At any rate, the intro to the song was really, 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 really good. I said, Aaron, did you help her with that? He said, no, I wish I had, but no, that was really, really, every day is Easter for a Christian. Just powerful. And actually, she gave us the opening text today, John 11, Jesus' words to Martha there at the death of Lazarus, where Jesus said to Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then we go to John chapter 19, the end of the 19th chapter, and then through a portion of John chapter 20. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. Now note that, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, we think it's John, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter. Now, if I were writing this gospel, I would tell that I outran Peter, too. But I'm glad he put that in there. And reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Now, notice this. Oh, wait a minute. He saw and believed, even though he didn't fully understand. Our faith is what Tertullian called a faith seeking understanding, so we can believe and always open to new and fuller understanding. They did not understand from the scripture yet that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, Woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, there's the word gardener again, she said, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means May God add God's blessing to this reading of the word. Help us, O God, to go into the garden today and be there and experience anew and afresh. Peace to men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to begin by talking about the resurrection and a firm foundation that you and I have for believing in the resurrection. Sunlight, I don't know a lot about what goes on in high school, but I know that there's lots of conversations about faith and whether or not this is true or not. And I want to just tell you there are three solid sense of external evidence that the resurrection actually happened, that our faith is on firm, really firm ground. The first is the number of witnesses to the resurrection. The first witness was Mary. Mary came and then, as you see, saw there in the garden, she saw Jesus standing there. She went back and told the others. that night, the others were gathered, the disciples, maybe 10, maybe a lot more other disciples, and Jesus appeared to them, so at least 10 more people. That's a lot of witnesses. One of them wasn't there, the disciple named Thomas, and I'm glad Thomas wasn't there because Thomas is a lot like us, like a lot of us, for whom faith doesn't come necessarily easily. And he said, look, I don't dispute what you're saying, but I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands at his side and touch the nail prints in his hands. And later, a week later, Jesus appeared to Thomas. And he said, oh, my Lord and my God. So there's at least another person. We also know that Jesus appeared to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the risen Lord appeared to 500 people, and to James, and then, in a real way, to himself. Pretty solid evidence, pretty good stuff. The other thing that I would suggest to you today is that the dramatic change in this group of disciples, I mean, their dreams were dashed, they were despondent, they were lower than low, they were devastated, and then a few days later, they were changing the world. Because they'd seen the risen Lord, something dramatic had happened in the lives of these disciples. Hard to explain it any other way. And the third thing is, the first 2 centuries saw this amazing transformation of the whole Mediterranean world because of the followers of Jesus. Not by might or sword or power, but by loving kindness and service and following the ways of Jesus. I just submit to you, those are pretty good external evidence. I want to also submit to you today, there's internal evidence. In my 67 years, from early on in my first encounter with Jesus as a child, it's become deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and more powerful in my very being that He's risen from the dead. He is my Lord and my God. And as I look out on you, I know all of us can't be fooled. That He's alive and He's among us and He's been a part of who we are and what we've done these last years together and beyond this past 2,000 years. The risen Lord, from my very first Easter sermon 40 years ago to this Easter sermon, it just is in my bones. I believe it with all I am. I believe in who He is, how He's changed, how He's there in our lives and my life together. I know it when I stand on the edge of eternity with members of this church and others who pass from this life to the next. I just know it. I know it in my being as we say farewell to one or another. I asked Carmen Nelson, our director of membership care, a membership secretary. I said, Carmen, can you send me a list of people who've died since 1994? Because I've done most of their funerals. And as I looked over that list, wow. Patty Medina, some of you remember Patty. Sue Kernigstein, Lou Titus, Otis Stubblefield, we called him Stubby, Fran Gerard, Eloise Rogers. Well, I could go down, there are almost 1,000 persons. And we stand on the edge of eternity, and even our being. As someone said so powerfully to me just the other day, the death of a dear close friend, God wouldn't allow us, would He, to develop these deep, strong bonds of love and relationship and friendship and love for them to end. No, they would go on and on. Because in my Father's house, He said, are many rooms, and I go and prepare a place for you. And so on this day, the best day of our lives, we celebrate this amazing, awesome, powerful reality that changed the world. We see these followers of Jesus see death differently. We see it differently, and most of the Christians I know have a living will. Sure, they want to live quality lives, but when we come to that place in our lives where it can't be quality, we have this living will because we know there's life beyond this life. There's life beyond this life because I live you shall live also. I've been asked several times, if there was no such a thing as heaven, or if you didn't know that there was any such thing as heaven, would you still follow Jesus? I say, absolutely yes. Because in my lifetime, I've come to know Him and love Him and follow Him and know that He's with me and He speaks to me and He guides me and He walks with me and He talks with me and tells me I am His own and I go to Him for guidance, strength, and help, and so do you. And I come to believe that His ways are the right way. His path is the right way. His wisdom is awesome. Easter, don't miss this. Easter is the vindication of everything Jesus was about. The resurrection is the validation, God's way of saying, you see, this my Son, everything He said and everything He did and the way He showed you to live, it's validated, it's vindicated. Now, go and live it. Go and live it. My work with interfaith kinds of things grows out of this deep conviction of Jesus, the resurrected one, and His love for the world and His love for me and His love for all. I find it powerful and strong. Now come back with me to our scripture lesson today. We began at the end of John 19. Joseph of Arimathea and his friend Nicodemus, both in the Sanhedrin, both powerful men, they come to Jesus at night. Nicodemus' life was changed forever. Now that Jesus is dying, they go to Pilate to say, could we take care of His body? So when He dies, they come, and Joseph of Arimathea has bought a garden. They take Him off the cross and place Him in this garden tomb. Now here's what I want you to know today. Of all the four Gospels, only John mentions the garden. Matthew doesn't mention a garden. Mark doesn't mention a garden. Luke doesn't mention the garden. Only John mentions the garden because John wants us to catch something here. John wants us to catch something here. And when later, when Mary is there, she sees and thinks the gardener. What could be going on with John and his thinking? Let me suggest this to you. John sees his gospel as a parallel with the book of Genesis. So both of them begin with these three words, in the beginning, right? Are you with me? Say yes, would you? Oh, good. So in the beginning, when God was creating the heaven and the earth, and in John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word. See, John wants us to see that Jesus was there both in the beginning and now, in the creation and in the new creation. And it was in the garden that God planted Adam and Eve, grew them up. And it was in the garden where He said, here's the tree that you can't eat from. Don't go there. It was in the garden, that first garden, where the river runs through it, that the serpent came and began to cause them to distrust God. And then everything began to fall apart. And they were cast out of the garden, east of Eden. And ever since, people have been trying to get back to the garden. That paradise. And so John sees this now in the garden, that Jesus is set in the garden to redo that whole thing. New life. New heaven and new earth. Paul talks about the old Adam, the first Adam, and the new Adam. That's what's going on here. And so Jesus has come in the garden make the garden, the world, the way God intends it to. His work isn't finished. He's called the church into being to do the work of Jesus in the world. And you may know that the Bible ends in a garden. Revelation chapter 22. There's a river that runs, and on either side of the river are the trees of life. And they bring their fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. Now, why am I telling you that? It's important to God. You and I couldn't help but think about it. God has, listen to this, God has placed Trinity United Methodist Church where? and 67 acres of garden. Don't miss that. God has placed you in a garden from which to help change the world. To be about the work of Jesus in this world. To bring about understanding of grace. I have a feeling we don't fully understand or appreciate the role that Trinity can play in this community. I'm going to share with you what happened this past Tuesday. For the last several months, some of us, Ward Simonton and I and others from this church and others in the community, have been meeting with different groups to help have conversations about race relationships and all kinds of things related to that. So when the young man was, Robert Dentman was shot this past weekend, I believe, Sunday. And I mean, it was an impossible situation. We have a number of police officers, lots of county sheriff's officers here. None of us would want to be in their position in a time like that. But when they called, and then when they called the meeting on Tuesday night, it just felt this compulsion to go. To be a pastor, a representative of Christ Church, in the midst of that pain that the family and the community, everybody in the community is involved with. And it was a pretty good meeting up until maybe toward the end. There were some challenges, as you read in the paper. Partway through, Carl Anderson, a pastor of the Upper Room Church, asked the clergy to introduce themselves. There were about six of us there. So I came my turn, and I said, I'm Dan Johnson from Trinity United Methodist Church. And there was a gasp. Well, let me read what Dorothy Denson wrote to me. Please understand this the way I hope I'm intending it. Dorothy Denson was a mover and helper in developing SWAG, Southwest Advocacy Group, and other things in the community. She said, Dan, Joan, my friend Joan, who goes to Mount Pleasant United Methodist Church, and I think she's a member of the board of SWAG. Joan was grateful that you came to the meeting tonight. Now, these are Dorothy's words. I don't think you realize how powerful your presence is. I heard a gasp when you introduced yourself as the pastor of Trinity United Methodist Church. Here's what I want you to hear. Because it's not about me. It's Trinity United Methodist Church is a huge presence in our community. You see, God has placed you in a garden. There are a thousand of you here today. And there are the work of Christ to do. Teaching great literature, bringing healing, finding cures for cancer, creating jobs, doing the work of Christ, bringing about drilling wells. I mentioned this to the clergy who are going to follow me, and I think we've got permission to announce it next Sunday, so you'll have to come back next Sunday, okay? I think we've gotten permission. It's supposed to be a couple weeks later, but for various reasons. And they are eager to carry on this work of the garden. But you see, Jesus is there in the garden to help his followers know that there's still work to do, and there's work for you, Trinity United Methodist Church, to do here and beyond. Well, one final word on the garden. One of my favorite songs. Growing up, I would sing it on the tractor when I was plowing or when I was mowing hay or whatever. It's called In the Garden. Anybody ever heard that song, In the Garden? Yeah. All these years, 67 years, and I've not met anybody yet who knew this. All these years, I didn't know it was based on John chapter 20, the resurrection story. Did anybody know that? Don't. Oh, you did. Okay. There's always one, isn't there? So I got a book that tells about the history of these hymns, and there's this guy named, what's his name? Anyway, Mr. Wiles is his name. He grew up in Pittman, New Jersey in March of 1912, 104 years ago. He was a pharmacist, but his hobby was photography, and he had a darkroom, and he would go in there and he would meditate. And it was in that dark room where he meditated. And on this particular day, maybe it was Easter, he turned to John chapter 20, one of his favorite verses. And he was there. And I want you to be there. Do it with me, would you? Go to that garden. He was there in the garden, and he saw Mary come early in the morning. And he saw her look in. And in her disbelief, she ran away. And then soon he saw Peter and John come. And then they left. And Mary stayed. And she wept. And you know what that's like to weep? She wept. And then he saw her turn. And he saw the gardener there. And it was Jesus. And he became overcome. And he began to write as fast as he could. And he wrote these words that will come up on the screen. Join me, would you? Michael, play a little intro. Oh, Ricky's going to play an intro. Let's go to that garden, would you? And you'll see Jesus there, and let Jesus speak to you. He wants you to do his work.
I come to the garden.
Join in the Hallelujah Chorus. If you'd like to join the choir after they get up for the Hallelujah Chorus, we've got plenty of copies. We invite you to come. We invite you to remain standing during the whole Hallelujah Chorus. Let's sing Crown Him with Many Crowns.